April 1858, Creek's Corner, Missouri. Broken. Everything in his shattered life was broken. His wagon wheel had a split, one horse had a loose shoe, and his heart, oh, his heart. It felt fragmented into a million minuscule, unfixable pieces. In his pocket, he fumbled with the precious ring that had been his wife's. Mary had made him remove the simple gold band from her finger, and he remembered the sense of finality he'd felt when he slipped it into his hand.
"Think of the children, Melvin,"
Mary's words echoed in his mind.
"Move on. Move forward. Mary."
She'd had little energy to speak, but her words had been clear. Only Melvin had refused to promise her anything. Melvin Trexler sat atop the buckboard seat. His face, unusually haggard for his 29 years, was accentuated by thin, white lips and a jaw clenched as if he were in physical pain. As he arched his back, the tension caused his nostrils to flare. He had been restless for miles and willed himself to relax his grip on the well-worn reins, much like he'd done earlier when he'd had to rein in his words and not chastise his young son for his incessant storytelling. He glanced behind him and observed that young Thomas was still wedged between supplies, his eyes devotedly on the bundle to his right.
"So like his mother."
Melvin needed this child, the apple of his eye, to know he was loved. He wouldn't allow the child to take on the grief, anger, frustration, and lack of peace tormenting Melvin's own weary soul. That was unfair to the boy. But Melvin already foresaw the amount of hurt and pain that would come.
"Am I capable of doing such a thing to my children?"
Melvin pondered on the steps he knew he was about to take and the agony he would endure. No one would ever replace Mary. He only had one choice. The journey they'd begun countless weeks before had been long and arduous, but also filled with hope and anticipation for a bright future. His beautiful and vivacious Mary had painted a picture with words as they'd traveled the hundreds of miles towards this, what he could only now call God-forsaken country. Where was the fertile land she'd described? The bubbling brooks she'd explained in such detail, he could hear them gurgling as she spoke. The perfect row of trees along the pond, teeming with life, where he and Mary would build their house. His dream was as broken as his family, both smashed and discarded, piece by precious piece.